First of all, let us see whether you all can hear me. Okay? At the back? Good. Because I always have problems listening, and my wife and I, we sometimes could not hear what was going on. So it's important that you are able to hear me, and I shall try my very best to make sure that you can hear me. Right. We are going to continue our studies on the Christian priesthood. The last time I was here with you was on 22nd of November last year, and that's about nearly 6 months ago. Yes. So, possible that you might have forgotten some of the things that were said so long ago. So we shall do a bit of recapitulation, but at the same time, because I have so much to pass on, I will not recapitulate the whole series, but rather just on one very foundation part that will strengthen us in the understanding of the Christian priesthood. And you remember, we were introduced to the classes of priesthood. Mainly, God had from the very beginning intended that Israel should be a nation of priests unto him. And that's why he called to Moses and told them, "Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So from the very beginning, God had intended to have a nation of priests. And he set up the condition, if you will obey, then you will be. But we know what happened. The conditions have been set. If you will obey, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 8. The covenant was given. Obey what? Obey the covenant and the commandments. And God gave them the Ten Commandments. God gave them the various judgments that they would have to mete out to those who fail to keep the commandments. And so all these things were laid out before them. And they were asked, "Are you ready to obey?" Yes, they were ready to obey. And so there was the consent by blood. Moses was told to bring along peace offering, burnt offering. The blood was shed, and blood was shed and sprinkled upon the altar to show God's part in the covenant. And then the blood was sprinkled upon the people of the children of Israel. They had agreed to obey God by blood. And so, what do we read? I'd like to draw your attention to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, the last chapter of the commandments, God had said to them, "Are you prepared to obey?" Yes, they were prepared to obey. And yet in chapter 32, while God was speaking to Moses on the Mount Sinai, the people below started to be impatient. And they asked Aaron to build for them a calf so that they could worship. The first commandment was, thou shalt have no other God before me. The second commandment was, thou shalt make no graven image. And yet, before even the tablets of stone were handed to them to confirm their readiness to obey, they already built a golden calf to worship. Failing to obey the very first two commandments, and God wanted to destroy them. And therefore, that original purpose of God setting up a priesthood was gone. God had to put it aside. But did God give it up? No. God still intended that there would be a nation of priests. And so this was deferred. Then there came other priesthoods. In order to establish what his idea of the priesthood was from the very beginning, God brought in another priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, so that it could be shown from the Levitical priesthood what this new priesthood should be, what it should not be, and what it should be. That was the purpose of the Levitical priesthood. Its limitations would show its infiniteness in the original priesthood that God had intended. So the Levitical priesthood was set up in order to show clearly what the Christian priesthood would be about, what the original priesthood would be about. Then, to further strengthen and reinforce this idea of the priesthood, God introduced the Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek priesthood was special. It was based on a king priest. That was what God had in mind. A nation of priests, a kingdom of priests, so then he could call them royal priests. And that only came about later on after the Lord Jesus Christ in our text, that we with confidence can now enter the Holy of Holies by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us, that is through the veil, his flesh. And so this priesthood was set up as the foundation to show what this new priesthood would be about. And therefore, what is this new priesthood, which we call the Christian priesthood? And I'd like you to know the difference from the very beginning. Please compare the words of the Christian priesthood in blue with those words below. Almost every word is the same. But what is the difference? The difference is that with Moses, God told the people, if you obey, then you will be. But with Christians, the Christian priesthood, you are, you shall be, you are, you shall be. And that's what is happening. That all is not a group of people who were called out to be priests. All who are Christians will be priests. You are. Therefore, live up to your holy priesthood. And this is our purpose this morning, to tell us what it's all about. With Moses, it was conditions before status. Obey, you will be. With Christians, it was status before condition. You are, therefore, be what you are. And this is a challenge to us as we study the Christian priesthood. So very quickly, our text and passage for our study on the Christian priesthood is based on Hebrews 10:19-25. A very brief recapitulation. First one, we started our series of studies on the character of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10:19-20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The character of a high priest was laid down in chapter 10, verse 21, having an high priest over the house of God. And we, being high priests, we have to fulfill certain conditions. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God still insists on holy priests. They must be holy, and there are conditions to fulfill, but the conditions are not to allow them or to make them priests. They are priests. Fulfill the conditions that you are priests. It's different from the old Levitical priesthood. The commitment of priests, that is our study for this morning, and that is, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We don't have time to finish this whole text today. We shall only finish the first part. This text will take us four sessions. We'll cover two today, and then at the end of the year, we cover another two. And we'll finish with a series on the Christian priesthood. So, what are we going to know today? You are a chosen generation. That is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation. Let us read. What is meant by chosen? To understand what is meant by chosen, let us remember again, there would be the Old Testament concept of the priesthood, Old Testament concept and choice of Israel to be God's people. So why did God choose Israel in the first place? We are told, if you read the text, I have not the time to read through, that God chose Israel not because they were many, they were few in contrast to the people around. Not because they were special, not because they were holy, but God chose them for the simple reason, I love you. I love you. And there should be no question about that. Today, I also realize that you and I have been chosen by God. Chosen by God. But why? Why did God choose us? Have you ever wondered why you are here this morning? Chosen by God to be his people, to be his priest. Have you ever wondered? Why not your brother? Perhaps your brother is not. Why not your sister? Why not your parents? Why not your friends? Why you are chosen? I cannot explain. I cannot explain why I am chosen. I cannot explain. And because of that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to testify to you of my experience as a Christian so that you will be encouraged. This morning, I'm going to give, to have a special message, especially to the young adults in the assembly. Now, I have been impressed by these young adults. I have especially gone out of our way to listen to these young adults as they stand up on the pulpit to preach. And they are fantastic. They are good. Many of them are perhaps in their late 20s, 30s already. I'm going to encourage you all to continue to study the Word of God and be useful to Him. And I'm going to show you that it's possible if you are ready to let go. Let your life be upon the altar. And God will use you, no matter how old or how young you are, the Lord will use you. And I will give myself as an example to show that if He could do it with me, He could do it with you, provided you are ready. So here will be a personal testimony. My life could be divided into four stages. Firstly, the Lord's choice and leading to my conversion, how I came to know the Lord. Then secondly, how I came to consecrate myself to the Lord. These two will be covered today. Next week, we'll cover my contributions to the service of the Lord, and then finally, my commendation. Now, we'll start off with my conversion. I was saved. I came to know the Lord at a young age of 13 years old. 13. I was at Burma. My father, who was a Christian at Fakwa Street Chapel, backslided, and later on, although he grew up and I was brought up by a Taoist grandparents. I never knew the Lord, but he was faithful to carry me on his bicycle carrier. It was on a bicycle carrier at the back, every Sunday to the Sunday school. And one day, and usually after Sunday school, I would stay back for the gospel meeting. And that Sunday, on the 17th of September, 1950, Mr. A. Phillips, who was driven out from China because of the communists taking over, he came to Penang and he preached for the first time. And that message came to me clear and simple. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Are there any who are ready to believe in him? Put up your hands. I never put it up. I never put up my hands. But when I went home at midnight, I still remember, in front of my Agar Road house, I look up to the night sky. On my knees and on my bed, through the window, I gave my life to the Lord. I did not know, but a good friend of mine, he also, who was with me in the gospel meeting, he also gave his life to the Lord. He also did not put up his hand, but he gave his life to the Lord. So the next day, both of us being free school boys, I went to school early and I met him. Hey, Hugh, I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Ang, I also have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And we met on the corridor and we told one another, we have met the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how my Christian life started on the 17th of September. And a month after that, October the 22nd, I went for my baptism. There was no waiting. No waiting. You know, sometimes we would wait for quite some time to get baptized after we have saved. But for me, just about a month after I was saved, I came to know the Lord. And together, five of us were baptized on that day. This will be a huge time. Out of the five of us today, Dr. Don Nichols, Mr. S.S. Adams. Dr. Don Nichols was the one who held the baptismal class for me. Adams baptized all of us. Out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us, only two are alive today. All have gone to be with the Lord. No one, except the two of us. They are Ivy Koo. She is quite old now and infirm and in the home. And this young boy, 13 years old. When I was baptized, I could still remember somebody asking, how could this young boy be baptized so early? He should be waiting longer, know the scriptures better before baptizing him. 13 years old, he would just give up very soon. Mr. Adams told me that he was only 7 years old when he was baptized. And young adults, your brothers or your sisters, have they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If they have believed, why have they not been baptized yet? There is no waiting time for baptism. No waiting time. You save, you get baptized. And that was the immediate action in the New Testament. Okay, so out of the five, only one. As a side track, I just show you another photo that was taken of a baptism of a group of people who were baptized just later than myself. And you will recognize some of these people. This person sits in front of me now. His brother had gone home. And this one is with me all the time. This one had gone home. This one is still, he has gone away from the Lord. And Mr. Copeland and Mrs. Copeland were the ones who baptized them. Well, we were in that contemporary. We were all young. But because we were young, we were still doing the service of the Lord. All right, let's go on. Chosen people. And he says that you are also a peculiar people. Peculiar here does not mean strange, funny, weird. Peculiar from the Greek means that which is specially possessed. So we are possessed by the Lord. We are possessed by the Lord. And because we are bought, purchased, we are also preserved by the Lord. And those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will preserve us. If you have definitely believed him, he will preserve you. But I know, as I said, there are one or two who have left. Now, I'm not sure what happened, but, well, only the Lord knows what will happen. That today, they are no more with the Lord. Sometimes we do not know. Circumstances may change. My mother came to know the Lord when she was on her deathbed. My father came back to know the Lord when he could hardly walk, when he was sick, and he was lying. He was lying in the home all the time, but he still made an effort to come back to Balmoral Gospel Hall. And so we find that the Lord has his own ways. We cannot judge. A person may have gone away, but the Lord has his own ways sometimes to bring the person back. All right, then we are told that from 1 Peter 5, verse 9, that we are also a holy nation, and therefore we must be pure and holy because he is holy. We are also told that we are a royal priesthood. Now, I would have no time to deal with the royal priesthood. That will be next, at the end of the year. This week, we'll deal with holy nation, and next week, we'll continue, because I don't think we can finish it. All right, so let's start. The commitment of priests. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hebrews 10:23. We are holy priests, primarily to sacrifice. We are royal priests, primarily to set forth, to testify to the people outside, to proclaim the greatness and majesty of our Lord. That will be end of the year, Lord willing. So let's deal with our responsibilities of being holy priests. If we are holy priests, what are we committed to? Now, priest, on the first hand, when a person is called to be a priest, his main job is to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice. Now, let's remember, it's not a group of people who are priests now. As far as we are concerned, all of us, every single one of you sitting down there, including me standing up here, is a priest. There is no separate group of priests. We are all priests. And therefore, what is now said of the holy priest will relate to all of us who are sitting here. Let's see what happened in the Levitical priesthood, so that we can learn from them what are the important things which can be done and which cannot be done. How were the people in the Old Testament consecrated priests? They were priests by virtue of two things, by virtue of birth and by virtue of their consecration by blood. What do I mean? No one could be a priest in the Levitical priesthood if he was born outside the tribe of Levi. So he was consecrated a priest by birth. He was consecrated a priest when he would be, the high priest especially, be brought before Moses, and Moses would bathe him from top to bottom, and Moses would take the blood of consecration and sprinkle upon him. and all, and that was upon Aaron and his sons, to make, to consecrate them as priests unto the Lord. So they were priests in that way, by birth and by blood. In the same way, all of us are also priests by birth and by blood. But I'd like you to know one thing before I go on to ourselves. The blood that was sprinkled upon the priest to consecrate them as priests, Moses would take the blood, would touch the ear of the priest, would touch the thumb, right thumb of the priest, and would touch the right toe of the priest to signify that this person now, from this time onward, would be a priest unto the Lord to consecrate his ears unto him to hear what he has to say, to consecrate his thumb, representing his whole hand, to do what the Lord wants him to do, and to consecrate his right toe to represent his whole feet to allow the Lord to use him to go where the Lord wanted him to go. And so there was the consecration of the whole person by blood. And this is what happened to us as well. In the New Testament, we also are priests by birth and by blood. By birth, only those who are born again are constituted the priest of God. Those who are priests must be born again. And everyone, without exception, is a priest who is born of God. So don't listen to people who tell you this group is a special, has a special calling to be priest, but you are not a priest. We are all priests. Secondly, we are priests by the blood, because all of us have been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have boldness to enter into the holies by blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has consecrated a new and living way for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Therefore, all of us are priests. Thirdly, now, as priests, there's one requirement, and the requirement is sacrifice. Every priest must be able to sacrifice. For the Old Testament priests, their sacrifices was expiatory. What does that mean? The table sacrifices they gave was to shed the blood, to ask for forgiveness of sins, expiation. It was asked for atonement for their sins. But Christians, when we offer sacrifices, we do not ask for expiation. We do not ask for atonement. We ask that mainly Eucharistic, that is to give thanks. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, once and for all, shed his blood for us. So we have been redeemed. And we now come to give thanks to God, to praising forth his praises unto him. Therefore, our priestly ministry of sacrifice is not based on the rites and rituals. We now stand before the Lord and we give thanks to God. We praise him. This is our privilege. We stand on the ground of redemption, as we read in Romans 3, 24 and 25. Let's go further in with regard to the sacrifice of holy priests. It is important that we realize that we need to sacrifice, that the sacrifice of holy priests is the sacrifice of himself. We read also in Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice. The Lord must offer himself. And if we are holy priests, the first condition that is required of each one of us is we must consecrate ourselves. We must offer ourselves. Romans 12, 1, and I want to stress on this verse from now onwards. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. and that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can I just be reciting this text so easily? Why? Because this text was implanted in my head, in my mind, in my life. Let me give you my testimony again. I was fortunate that from the very first day I came to know the Lord, I was introduced to the Word of God. Sunday, I was baptized. Monday, I went to school, Penang Free School. In Penang Free School at that time, there was a prayer group. During the break, the Christians from Burma Gospel Hall, it was started by Mr. Tan Wah Kim. People from Burma Gospel Hall would gather together in Mr. Tan Wah Kim's house, and we would read the word and we would pray during that 10 to 15 minutes of break time. Dr. Chan was one of the leaders then at that time. He would know what I'm talking about. And straight away, I was introduced to the reading of the Daily Light. We use the Daily Light, a devotion. And the Daily Light is a devotion, a devotional book that consists of all Bible texts put together. No story, nothing written by man, but just pure Bible texts put together to arrange into a message to speak to those who read. I was introduced to the Daily Light. And later on, so from the very beginning, I was introduced to the Word of God. No fooling, no introduction to some interesting devotional studies, stories, and so on. The Word of God direct. Later on, after the free school incident, when I came to know, when I came to Bumborough Hall, met a group of people, and they were only interested in the reading of God's Word. And we met together, five of us, we met together to study God's Word every week. Went into detail, text, verse by verse. It's not a superficial study discussing experiences, discussing devotion and so on, but going to the Word and expounding it. And so, from that time onward, up to this very time, my first primary importance attachment to God is through the Word and the Word alone. Young man, I'm impressed by what you have been giving sometimes from the pulpit. And I'm glad to see some of you have done good research on the Word. But may I say this? Please do not start preparing your message by going into the internet to search for material. From the very beginning, I would have nothing, we had nothing to do with outside commentaries, only the Word of God. I still remember my first sermonette at the Young People's Meeting, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. And based on that, I developed my message. What you can do today is this, here, young men and young women too. When a topic is given to you, get a concordance, search through the topic, search through the Bible for the topic, meditate upon it. Do not ever go into the internet for the topic, and then get the whole passage or extract a whole passage from the commentary in the internet and that becomes your message. No, that's not the right thing to do. I challenge you, even today, whether you can find my messages from any other source, all these messages are direct with dealings from the Lord. And unless you do that, my dear young man, you have not started right. Start right by always basing your experience on and your ministry on the Word of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, we find that even the Corinthian Christians, they first gave themselves. That's the more important point. Now, as I said earlier, I started my Christian life with the Word of God. Yeah, I told you about my experience in Penitentiary School in a prayer group. Started with the daily light, the Word of the Lord. Soon later, Mr. A.E. Phillips, the one who brought me to know the Lord, introduced me to the Emmaus Bible course. And I started the Emmaus Bible courses that I was introduced to were not the same as the ones that you are doing. Today, the books are the same, the topics are the same, but the content material is not the same. There, apart from the true and false questions, there's always one section where one had to answer the questions subjectively, right out. It's not yes or no, true or false. So one had to do research from a concordance and also from a commentary. So I was introduced then to real expository exposition of the word. Then I went through all the Emmaus Bible courses, and I'm proud to say that I was the first one in the whole of Malaysia to complete 24 courses of Emmaus Bible courses, and I got a certificate from Toronto Emmaus Bible School. But to be more proud, another person, second to complete the 24 courses, was Mrs. Douglas Clay from Burma Road Gospel Hall. Burma Road Hall Gospel Hall was famous for people who loved the Word, who studied the Word, who would not deal with outside devotional things, but who would just study the Word. And Mrs. Clay, she later on used her house to open up to start the Taylor Road Sunday School as well. So that was my introduction. Then, while doing the Emmaus Bible courses, I did my last one, the Book of Romans. 24 lessons in that chapter, in that lesson. And the last one required me to write out a thesis of 500 words on the Book of Romans. And I could remember that night, as I sat in the main hall, nearly midnight, typing out my answer to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it spoke to me like nobody's business, that I needed to give my life to the Lord. And then I gave my life to the Lord. And that was over 50 years ago. I gave my life. That's what I call my consecration. There was a time in my life when I gave my life to the Lord. Dear friends, young men, young women today, my challenge to you is this. Can you remember a time at one stage in your life when you remember when you give your life to the Lord? When you consecrate your life to the Lord, Lord, take my life and let it be wholly consecrated to Thee. Have you ever? Can you remember? Or is your Christian life just like coming in and going out? Is the Bible real to you? So please, it's good to see you taking part in the on the pulpit, preaching the word, but don't use other people's sermons. Don't use other internet sources for your message. Take it from the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Compare text with text, scripture with scripture. Okay. With that, as I told you from the very beginning, we were always gathered together in one group to study Bible classes. And I was instrumental everywhere I went to start Bible study class. All right, started. After Bumble Hall, a few of us again gathered together to study the Bible. But we got into the bad books of the oversight. Young people, today you have got an excellent oversight to encourage you to study the Word of God, give you opportunities to study the Word of God. But in my time, No. In fact, we were hounded for studying the Word of God. This is how we started my study group. First, we wanted to have a Bible study. So in that corner, that wing there, we gathered together for Bible study. The oversight came out, I came to know about it, we were driven away. Then they came to my house to have the Bible study. My house was too noisy. We could not do it. That was at Agal Road. So we crossed over to Wellesley Primary School on a Sunday, closed. So we would stay in the corridor in the Wellesley Primary School to study the Word. We were driven away by the jaga. After that, nowhere else to go. So we cycled all the way to Springtide, Tanjung Bunga, Springtide, on the beach. But it was too far away. After that, we stopped, we came back. Then after that, sisters came to hear about our Bible school, our Bible class. They wanted to join. Of course, open. At first, we were only boys. Now the women came in, and we were offered to stay to do the Bible class in Hutton Lane, in the home of Mr. and Mrs. O Hock Teck. That was a mistake, because Mr. and Mrs. O Hock Teck were rich people, rich members of the hall. And in our time, there were two groups of people, the rich and the poor. We belonged to the poor. The rich could have a lot of things to do, and they were in the favor of the colonial missionaries. But we were poor, and we just could not do much. So we had to do our things outside. And soon, from the pulpit at Bermuda Gospel Hall, elders, missionaries started to bombard us because they found the sisters have joined the men for Bible class, and it accused us of immorality. We were very sad. And one elder, his wife, took pity on us. He said, come over to my house. We have the house ready for you to use. And so we came on to 51 Service Road. And that house, the Dr. Samuel's house, Mr. and Mrs. Fred Phillips' house, was opened up for us so that we could study the Bible. From that group, a lot of people went out, and today many of them are leaders as well. So, dear young men, young women, please emphasize on Bible study. It is very, very important. Study the Bible for what it is. Don't just go around the beat about the bush about experiences and so on. You need to know what the Bible teaches. Underline your Bible. Study the Bible. Don't take a phone and get all your sources of information from there. And then you contribute. It's all more from the internet, but not from a personal experience with the Word of God. It's very sad. That's what I find happening today. Not only we started a group here, then I went over to Butterworth. I was not wanted at Bermuda Hall. By the way, I've never functioned in Bermuda Gospel Hall. I was never a Sunday school teacher in Bermuda Gospel Hall. I was hardly a preacher in Bermuda Gospel Hall in my young days, hardly, never. So I wanted to serve the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord. Lord, this is my life. I want to serve you. I went out. And my next one was to have a mission in Butterworth. And that's another where I went, I would start Bible classes. Bible classes bring the people together, and today you'll find that some of these people, some of them have gone home, but some of them have been very, very good Bible students, and they have lasted today. So, the sacrifices of what I am. Let me go through quickly, Romans 12. The call is a real appeal to all of us. I beg of you, please, the Lord has done so much for you. Give your life to the Lord. It's a restricted appeal. It's only for those who are believers, not for outsiders. It is a reasonable one, based on the mercies of God expounded by Paul from chapter 1 to chapter 11. And on the chapter 12, Paul said, I beseech you, I urge you, I ask you earnestly, give your life to the Lord. The concept of sacrifice that you present. The word present is a Levitical word. It is the presentation of offerings unto the Lord. It's unto the Lord, a holy giving. Have you given your life wholly to the Lord? It's a willing to sacrifice all we are. Luke 2:22 says that the Lord grew up and he grew up in favor with God and man. Everything, 1 Samuel 1:27 says that Samuel's mother lent her son to the Lord. But the word lend did not mean just lending for a short time, because it says lend to the Lord for whole life, for the whole life of Samuel. And so we need to give our life to the Lord. Present is a Levitical term, and it means give our life as a priestly offering. We are priests. We are to give sacrifices. And the most important sacrifice we need to give is to give of our lives to the Lord. Present a body, a sacrifice unto the Lord. A preparedness to surrender all we have. Romans 6:13 says, yield your bodies as living sacrifice unto the Lord. Reckon your members in your body as dead, that you may present your body a sacrifice to the Lord. So it's a readiness to submit all the way. All the way. Now, you know, in my time, our group were very serious with holiness. And we were also very serious with worldliness. Be not conformed to this world. All of us will always be challenged. Do not conform to this world. And, well, I mean, frankly, rightly or wrongly, today I do not judge, but at my time, every one of us was not allowed to have worldliness to creep into our lives. For example, none of us would ever step into a cinema hall, because we would claim that the cinema hall at that time, was indeed worldliness, with all the actors and actresses living worldly lives. And so we would have nothing to do with them. And up to today, a few of us, Mr. Tong Ling and wife, and we in that old group, we hardly step into a cinema hall. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying that we are serious with worldliness. Don't let the world come into your life. I do not know. Have you ever heard a sermon today asking the Christians to separate themselves from the world, be not conformed to this world? I have not heard a single message on worldliness for a long, long time. Worldliness. Today, we accept worldliness as part and parcel of Christian life. We accept a lot of things in this world that what other people do, we also do. But we do not know how they make our life worse, our Christian life, and less committed. We were very, very serious about worldliness. And that's why, at my time, the people, the Christians, were divided into two groups. Those people who were rich, they would be more worldly because they could afford. Those of us who were poor, we were very simple. And therefore, they called us Holy Joes. We called them beyond redemption. All right. Offering your bodies. We need to offer our bodies. The eyes, we were interested in mission fields. Young, I started to be interested in missions already. Now, by the way, I'm talking about this when I was just about in my 20s, early 20s, when I was doing all this. In the Bible class at 51 Service Road, we learned how to give to missions. And we save money to give to mission fields. We would play games in the field. At the end of the games, the Beyond Redemption people would rush outside to the school, and outside there would be ice stall. They would buy ice and so on to quench their thirst. We would save the money from going there. We would go to the tap at the back of the hall, and we would drink from there. And with the money saved, we would send to the BEM, Borneo Evangelical Mission, today known as the Sidang Injil Borneo. We were serious. We gave to the Lord, and we were mysterious in missions, and we went that over to Butterworth to start a work in Butterworth. The hands to lift up in prayer. The Lord spoke to me in my consecration, and I read a book by Oswald J. Smith, The Man God Uses, challenging me to pray. Now, I was afraid, young man, like you, I was very afraid to stand up in a prayer meeting to pray at that time in the hall. So, very, very afraid. But when after I read that book, The Man God Uses by Oswald J. Smith, the Lord spoke to me, and that day, I was sitting down there on the other side in the hall. I stood up to pray. Only two or three sentences, that's enough. But that started my public prayer. Dear friends, dear young men, have you ever stood up to pray? Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? This is a challenge. Stand up and pray. Take part in the Lord's Supper. Take part in the prayer meeting. Take part. If you don't take part now, you will never take part, and you'll grow old. You'll never open your mouth. Start. Start by opening your mouth and lift up your hands in prayer before the Lord. So the tongue, use the tongue. Sorry. Use the tongue to praise the Lord at the Lord's Supper. Why must you leave it to the senior ones to take part? Does it say, regard to the priesthood, that only old people can take part in the Lord's Supper? That only the leaders can take part in the Lord's Supper? Younger people cannot take part? This is a challenge to you. The Lord's Supper is not a Lord's Supper for elders. The Lord's Supper is not a Lord's Supper for older people. The Lord's Supper is for all, to remember the Lord. Young men to take part. So fulfill your duty as a priest, your holy priest. Don't leave out that duty of yours. Your feet to go out and bring the word. Oh, my time, we did a lot of mission work. We traveled around the island. We went by bus. We went by car. We would go to the Gurney Drive, and there we would have send service every month. We would preach the word, and I was a young man, and I was already standing up on the sand pulpit, preaching to the public, to the strangers. Why are we not doing some of these things? I know some of you have been very good. You have gone out, but remember this. You need to make it a special project in your life to win people to know the Lord. The whole person must be given to the Lord. The Lord wants, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice. This hymn became our hymn in that Bible class, our hymn. In fact, we took one whole series of studies just talking of each one of the lines on the hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands, take my feet, take my voice, take my lips, take my silver and my gold, take my intellect, take my will and make thine. Take my heart, take my love, take myself. Can you sing this? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, and so on. This we learn, and we make sure that everyone in our Bible class make it into a living hymn for one, for that person himself. Oh yes, we need to be serious with our Christian life. As holy priests, we forget about the clergy. We forget about the commended priests. We live holy priests as unto the Lord. So, I finish now. The offering, you need to give your bodies. The object, that you might be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Where members are available, Romans 6 says, you are dead to sin. You are dead to yourself, but alive unto God. We are dead, and yet we are alive. So let us be alive unto the Lord. All right. We want to give to the Lord. That which is sacrificed must be set apart. It must be holy. That which is not holy cannot be given to the Lord. It must be placed at God's disposal. It must be undefiled. And it must be, the sacrifice must be acceptable, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Only that which the Lord approves is to be given unto the Lord. Not that which you do not want, you give to Him. What the Lord has pointed out to be His, give it back to Him. So, conclusion. Which is your reasonable service? This is very reasonable for what God has done for you, characterized by reasonable, very reasonable. All the mercies that He has shown to you, now He wants you to give Him back. And how do you give Him back? Serve Him. You must come out. You must serve Him. Now, I have been serving the Lord for all these many years. The Lord has not failed. And although now I'm in my I'm old, older than many, and infirm, yet the Lord will give me the strength to do that which He wants me to do, because I can never, never run away from that consecration night when I said, I beseech you therefore, when the Lord said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not transformed. So, worship must precede service. And service must proceed from worship. Don't just talk about worship, worship, and you do not serve. And don't just talk about service, service, and you don't worship. Both are important. May the Lord bless all of you. Lord, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for what he has to say to us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the privilege that we are holy priests unto thee, and we are royal priests. Help us not to forget our function, that to be what we are for thee, to sacrifice ourselves to thee. So Lord, bless each one of us, especially the younger ones in this assembly, that they will grow up to be what thou would have them to be, as those chosen by thee for thy special service. We ask these things, Lord, giving thee thanks for thy goodness to us. Keep us safe from all harm and danger in the days to come. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.